Jason, quick
you
question.
You are one of one.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
Thank you for helping me prove my point, Molly. Because
you're welcome.
My point, well, is this Matt Hamilton?
Am I not allowed to know the word filibustering?
I just didn't see that coming, that's all.
Well, good, I want to keep you on your toes.
Jason Wilde is on Jim, Matt, and Molly.
Oh, snap! What's up with that? What's up with that?
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Middleton, Madison's best-kept secret for a happy hour, the Sizzle, Swizzle, and Swirl happy hour. Go over there, say hi to Lee and Kevin and the whole team over at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Middleton. Tell them that Jim, Matt, and Molly sent you. She's Molly Brown. I'm Jim Rutledge alongside Matt Hamilton in the Everlight Solar Studio. Primetime Laura Scheim with us as well. And I've delayed enough. We are now thrilled to be joined by Jason Wilde. Jason, how you doing on this Tuesday?
I'm great. I'm a physical specimen, remember.
You are. Loved that with LaFleur. Yeah. Now, we did say on that we know, and obviously everyone in that room knows, that like you and LaFleur have a fun relationship, but it still goes back to like the way Matt LaFleur delivered that line. If you didn't know he liked you, it could seem aggressive. And so it's always like he just never is. He just can't. I don't know if he doesn't have a funny bone or like at the podium, like he just can't come across as like a normal person giving a little bit of talking a little trash there. But we all know that you guys get along. But it was one of those where I'm like, if you're watching this on a national level, like who is Matt LaFleur mad at?
So we added another chapter today. That's why I bring it up. So I asked him a question about Zach Tom, and I said that that you guys had a peck torn pec epidemic last year, and he said I don't know what you're talking about. I said no, I think you do. I mean, being the physical specimen you are. And then he made some wisecrack. I can't remember the specifics, but I wanted to make the call back to last week, and he's like, well, you know, I'm more of a physical specimen than you. I know I'm that. And I wanted to stand up and say, you know, I didn't want to swear, and I don't want to swear on the radio, but no blank Sherlock. Like, we do not look alike. I agree. I also don't have $100 a week to spend on my hair and my appearance.
Right.
And you can tell that I don't spend it. You get what you pay for. But yeah, he at least felt compelled this time. So I don't know if he got some feedback from people that, hey, he kind of came across as a jerk to Wilde last week. But he felt like compelled to say, I'm just kidding. And I said, I know you are. Now answer my damn question. So we had some fun again today. I enjoy our back and forth.
Jason, Zach Tom spoke with the media today.
Hi, Molly.
Hello, Jason. How are you?
Great, and I kind of like how you said that, yeah.
Oh, okay. Zach Tom spoke with you guys in the media today, and he said, I think when I'm at my best, I'm the best in the league, referring to Penei Sewell and Lane Johnson, who got more all pro votes at right tackle than he did. What else did he say that was interesting, and kind of like what's his mindset going into this next season?
Yeah, good question. So we had six players. We had Kenny Clark, Keyshawn Nixon, Rashawn Gary, Lucas Van Ness, Zach Tom, and Romeo Doubs. And the Romeo Doubs one was a challenge. He respectfully did not want to talk about his concussions, and he didn't really want to talk about what he learned from not showing up for work last year. But Zach Tom didn't really want to talk about his contract situation. He was asked about why he came, and he feels like he was right. I mean, he said, it doesn't really do me any good not to be here. Because, you know, whether we agree with it or not, Steno said what he said, right? Adam Stenovich, the offensive coordinator, basically saying, yeah, right tackle is open competition too, which I still think is crap. I don't think it's true. I did see Anthony Belton today with the number two offense work at right tackle. I still don't believe that he's going to supplant the guy who, despite playing through a weakened right side because of the torn pec he had in the offseason last year, still was one of the best right tackles in the game and does deserve a contract extension. I don't buy that's a competition. But, you know, I respect the fact that he is coming to work. I thought it was interesting that, you know, he called it a little setback, and I was like, come on, man. Like, we know it wasn't a little setback. Like, playing the offensive line with a torn pec and then not being able to lift all off season and going into training camp and the regular season without adding strength, like, that's a problem. And it did affect how he played, and yet he still played at a high level and he didn't miss a game. Like, he played like 98% of the snaps. So, you know, look, he is a really good player, and they need him. Do they need the other two guys that are also in contract years? Not as much, I would probably say. But at the same time, like, I did ask him, like, do you guys have, like, a little support group? You and Rashid Walker and Sean Ryan, because you're all in the same boat. And he said, you know, it's funny, but we all kind of, you know, it sounds corny, but those are two of my best friends. And so he talked about how they, you know, spend a lot of time together. They don't talk about the contract. But I thought it was interesting because my response to him was, that's awesome, but they're not going to sign all three of you. So are you kind of savoring this season together with your friends, knowing that you might not be playing together next year? And I think that that's really interesting, that there's that tight bond between those three guys, because A, they're all in contract years. B, their positions, at least theoretically, have been put up for competition. And so they are very important to what this team's going to do up front this season.
Jason, I'm gonna throw our poll question at you. I think it's a little aggressive, but here it is.
Are they aggressive?
Yeah, because I said it was. I don't want to lead Jason.
Is that just because Jim used the word aggressive earlier? Now you got to, like, are you doing that? Like, you just want to use a word, the callback, or what?
I'm Pee Wee Herman style. We all go whenever we hear word of the day.
Yeah,
you can tell Rutledge that.
I guess I could be a little bit of a parrot, but no, I didn't. It was just. When I say aggressive, maybe lofty was the better term to use.
Ooh. I love words.
Is NFC Championship expectations too high for the Packers next season?
No. I mean, I don't necessarily think they're going to get there. But, you know, look.
Not too high.
No, because expectations, you don't always achieve your expectations, but you should have high expectations, especially these guys, right? Like, so they went 9-8 in 23. They won a playoff game on the road, and they had the 49ers on the ropes until the fourth quarter. And the quarterback threw a couple of interceptions. The kicker missed a field goal he should have made. Like, I don't know. You know, they were a whisker away from playing in an NFC championship game in Love's first year as a starter. Last year, You know, everybody likes to say, well, they won two more games with Love. Well, they didn't really. They won two more games as a team, first of all.
Oh, my God.
Matt gets so mad at me when I point that out.
I say we when the Packers win on Sunday.
Jordan Love
does not get to say that. So if Jordan Love does it, he doesn't get that same grace?
I mean, when Michelle Smallman says that he won.
He didn't play in two of them.
Yeah, but he was there.
It's not how quarterback stats
you
work.
You played as much as he did.
Yeah, that's why I say we, and I say we. So he should be allowed to as well.
My point is that while all this ridiculous Dan Orlovsky telling us how much smarter he's than the rest of us, discussion about regression is going on. They did not win more games with Jordan Love at quarterback than they did the previous year. They won the same number of games with him starting at quarterback. I don't believe quarterback wins are a stat. My point is that they did not take as big of a jump, whether it's individually with the quarterback or as a team, than you were expecting. And then they lost in a first-round playoff game. They didn't take another step by winning a wild card game and then a divisional game. But they have everybody back virtually. They have all these guys in their third and fourth year who are maturing to the point of being young veterans, but veterans nonetheless. I think that NFC Championship game berth. I'm not saying winning it and going to the Super Bowl, but I think that is a very reasonable thing to expect, because look at the, and I know, you know, some people on the panel were youngsters or maybe not even here yet back during this period, and I know Jim was just rooting for the Bears because that's what he always did from birth, but like, look back on the Holmgren, Favre, Reggie White
Ron Wolf era. 92, they don't make the playoffs in Favre's first year as a starter. 93 and 94, they get in the playoffs, they win a playoff game. 95, they win a playoff game, and then they beat the reigning Super Bowl champs, reach the NFC Championship game, have a lead in Dallas, and then lose that game, and then 96, they go to the Super Bowl. Like, there has to, that you want to see a progression. With Rodgers, it was 08, they don't make the playoffs. 09, they make the playoffs, they lose on a fluky ending to the game in a shootout in Arizona. In 10, they go on a run and win the Super Bowl. Like, you want to see progress. And so progress would be winning a division game, playing an NFC championship game. So I have no problem with that being the lofty / aggressive expectation.
So, Jason, I had another one totally different. I'm not building on the last question at all. We're past June 1st. Jair Alexander is still on the team. What's up with that?
What's up with that? I know you guys were the first ones that I talked about this with because I have used it since. But I think this is exactly what I told you guys. I can't remember if Jim was off for his like birthday or something. But this is the idea of him coming to the minicamp next week. He was not there today. So if there was a plan for him to show up even before that, that was not executed. He also did not sign an altered contract so he could participate because they do not want him out there with his contract as it is currently written. It is a power play move by him. I know that sounds crazy, but it is essentially, I'm going to show up for the mandatory minicamp. So, A, I don't get fined, and B, so if you guys don't want me out there under a $16 million base salary, you better sweeten the deal that you're offering me because I'm coming, and you can't keep me off the field. It's against the CBA. So it is finally we are reaching potentially, I certainly am not going to say certainly, but potentially we're finally going to hit the bewitching hour where we find out what his fate will be. And look, we know that he loves his teammates and his teammates love him, that his teammates want him back. You know, Keyshawn Nixon talked about it today, I'm sure. I wasn't in that group. I was talking to Romeo Doubs at the time. But look, they want him back. But Brian Gutekunst does not want him back at $16 million. And if they can negotiate a contract that protects the team from him having injury problems and still makes him feel whole in terms of what he knows he's getting and then what he can earn back, then he's going to be a Packer. But the pendulum has swung so much. We went from people saying he will not be on this team next year to now people kind of looking at it like, well, it's just a matter of crossing the T's and dotting the I's and he'll be a Packer. I don't think that's true because otherwise what the hell is the holdup now, right? Like the offer's on the table.
Mm-hmm.
You know that they want the pay cut. So if it was as simple as that, then I feel like we would have seen him today, and we didn't.
So I guess where do you...
it almost leaves me with more questions.
Well, it's more of like at some point Jair has to feel slighted or just say, you know what, pay me what I'm owed or let me go find a team and I'll bet on myself. And maybe I won't make the money now, but I will make it up. Because he's not that far removed. There are championship-level teams. I think the Chiefs, the Rams, other teams need cornerbacks. And if he's let go, he's going to get picked up. And if he goes plays for, let's say he goes to the Chiefs and they go back to the Super Bowl and he's healthy throughout the year, he's lining himself up for a massive payday. Are the Packers prepared to lose him or do they just think that, like, hey, he's going to do what we want him to do because that's what we want?
Yeah, I have no idea what his market is. Like, I would hope, and again, I'm lucky, you know, whether it was the State Journal before or Channel 3000 now and ESPN Wisconsin now, like, I don't have to deal with all the agent BS. Like, the expectation is not, hey, you got to be talking to these guys and buttering them up all the time, because that is a part of the job that I can't imagine sucking up to these guys. It's just has to be so exhausting. And so I would assume that John Thornton is out there talking to teams, even though he's not supposed to, finding, all right, what would a, if you wanted up my guy, what would you pay him? How would you structure a deal? Because if it's going to be a push, then he has to decide basically what's better, being with my guys, you know, my Keyshawn Nixon, Xavier McKinney, that crew, in a place that I know, you know, I've got a house, all that other stuff, or is it better to get a fresh start, play somewhere else, and if the money's going to be about the same and I have an opportunity to ball out and make myself a ton more money with this new team and enjoy the fresh start, would I rather have that? That's a decision only he can make. But again, I think it's important to note that if this was such a simple slam dunk and always coming back, then why hasn't he signed the contract and he's here, right? Like, you know, there's, you know, I understand why Elgton Jenkins isn't here, but otherwise, like, you know, if you're planning on coming back anyway, you might as well get to work. So I just think this is, as Tausch likes to say, still a lot unwritten by Natasha Bedingfield.
Perfect way to end there, Jason. Thank you.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
That's Jason Will. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light.
You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly.
I think he'll sign, but I think this could get a little cantankerous.
I think it depends on this Jair contract first, though. And they need to do something before June 6th or June 1st or something.
It's June 1st.
6th is just like wrong, a funny though. Date.
Because like, the like, wow. They're all weird dates. It stuck on my head. That's my dad's birthday.
Happy birthday, Daddy.
Jair has to be signed.
By my dad's birthday.
The way the league works.
Presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and ESPN Madison on YouTube.